Happy Sabbath. For the last almost 4 years, I have woken up at about 4:45, and I would wake up early, and I would anxiously come to the church. I would get in my car, and the drive is very short because I live very close. And I would drive my car. Sometimes I'd get a Starbucks beforehand. I needed a little more fuel. But I would anxiously wait to see what God had planned. And the divine always showed up, didn't he? I would put on music. And I remember my music selections changed as we grew and changed. I remember some of the songs I would listen to when I would drive in the beginning would be these songs of, you know, you got to fight, you got to struggle, you got to move, you got to build, and we built. And then all of a sudden my songs changed to enjoy and be present and be fully aware of the beauty all around you. It was just such an interesting journey every Sabbath. I would sit in my office from about 5:30 to 6:00. And I would just look over my slides, and I would think about every single one of you. I would think of the great story I was going to tell that was going to make Shauna cry. And then at 6:00, I'd walk up here, and I'd turn on the coffee so that we could all be caffeinated together. Then I would go back into my office. And I would labor over every single word that was there. I took the teaching seriously every single week. Amen. I absolutely love this community, and I love all of you. Today, I'm going to do something uncharacteristic of me. I got to the place in sermon writing where I didn't really need those words there because they just kind of came out of my own experience, my soul. And I just shared it with you. And it got to the place where I no longer was worried that you wouldn't like me anymore if I shared something too personal. I knew you'd accept me. I remember the time that I got up front and I tricked all of you. Remember that? I said we're going to have a special guest show up. And there was no special guest. It was all part of my interesting ploy to get you to think about something in a different way. And I thought maybe you'd be mad at me. I thought I'd get some of you. But the reaction was not what I had expected. The reaction was love and encouragement. And it was very odd for me. And it was beautiful. Today, though, I'm going to, again, do something uncharacteristic. I'm going to read to you what I wanted to share. Because today I don't want emotion to get in the way of these words that I wrote. I don't want the other things that are just gurgling around to come out. I just want to share with you, but I'm going to read these words today. Exodus is the journey of Israel. It's their journey from one place to another. From a place of brokenness to places of change and movement, pain, mountains, possibility, and even freedom. And it's fitting and ironic that this would be my last sermon in the last series I share with you. It would be one from the Exodus. By now, most of you have heard that I'm choosing to resign as pastor here at OC Grace First. Not because of something immoral or any other dramas, because I simply have realized it's apparent to me that it is time to go. A couple months ago, I gave a sermon, and I asked you to learn to step away from brokenness, When the relationship isn't working, I gave this heroic call to courageously stand and do what your heart is calling you to do. When the thing doesn't fit, you step into the new. While I was giving the sermon, I had this moment. I had this moment where I almost felt like I was watching myself on stage. I was watching this guy share these words, these stories of freedom, and in that moment, I wanted to be that guy. Because the truth is, I've been telling you to walk in the new reality. Step away from relationships that don't work anymore. If the sweater doesn't fit, it's time to replace it. I asked you to courageously walk in freedom. And in that moment, it occurred to me that I am not really living the words I'm speaking to you. And so today, my heart is heavy, but also expectant, because I'm about to embark on the next thing too. Every new step involves a step into the unknown. Frodo steps away from the Shire. Neo leaves the Matrix. Walter Mitty walks into the mystery. You and I, we have been through a lot. It's been almost four years together. When I look back at all of those sermon posters right there, all of those amazing posters Paula has put together every single couple months, incredible. When I look back at those posters, I began to realize something in the last 6 weeks. Those posters are my journey. The journey of deconstructing and reconstructing. And I've invited you to come along with me weekly. And what a journey it has been. We as a group, we've delved into deeper questions of faith. We've asked the uncomfortable of Scripture and the divine. We've disagreed and agreed, and we in this room have had incredible discussions together. We've wrestled, and we've loved, and we've forgiven, and it's been beautiful. From Genesis to Jonah, from leaving our decoder rings in Revelation in order to step into a deeper appreciation for the beauty of the book, to sharing our own stories anywhere from hot peppers to retirement. It's been a fantastic ride, and I wouldn't have changed a thing. Growing up, I was a public school kid. I remember going to church, feeling like I was in a foreign place, hearing a foreign language every single week. I didn't feel connected. I did not feel like I belonged. And eventually I ended up going to an SDA school, not by choice. At that school, I was bullied. I was told I don't fit in. And so I worked hard. I learned the language. I drank the Kool-Aid. I stuffed the questions down inside. I tried really hard to fit in. In college, I decided I want to be a pastor. I'm good at speaking, and I love God, and I think I have something to offer. So I studied and I worked really hard. I pored over the Hebrew and the Greek. I studied books my professors were studying. I pushed and pushed and grew to deeply understand the mystery. The problem was, I didn't fit in. I had too many questions, I was told. At one point, I was told very clearly, you don't belong. A different path, but this path caught up with me, didn't it? I spent much of my adulthood trying to belong because I, like you, needed community too. And eventually my family and I, we ended up here in Orange County, where we have actual parrots flying around, and the weather is fantastic, and the traffic is what hell will look like. So Danielle and I wanted to find a place and create something where we too could belong. And so we worked hard, we met people, broken, amazing people just like us, that lived and thrived in the questions and the growth, and we experienced community deeply, didn't we? We colored with crayons inside and outside the lines, and we found real life there, and we did it in love and authenticity. Amen. I was able to work with a team of people I'm so proud to have worked with. When I arrived here, there was a group of really worn out people. It's going to happen the entire time. It would be like, he stutters a lot. These people, they struggled with me. Understand each other. Lord, help me. Take care of this right now. That's it. A little wiggle. Okay. All right. Let's do it again. It's a good thing I'm reading this, huh? We struggled at first to understand each other. Our language wasn't the same. I had weird ideas and facial gestures and visions of grandeur. And you had some doubts, and so did I. And you walked with me. You dreamed with me. We planned together, even though we weren't sure if this thing was going to fail or succeed. And I'm so thankful for the team of people I've been blessed to work with. I'll never forget sharing the silly idea of these lights. I remember telling people, I think we can do this. And they looked at me like I was crazy. And then that night when we tried to hang it, poor Christina and Tyler are up on top of these large platforms. And we're doing our best. And when it was finally hung, we looked at it and we said, that's interesting. But then when the lights were turned off in the room, we had this moment where we weren't sure what was going to take place, but in that next moment, the light switch was turned on, and the thing just came alive, didn't it? It just glowed. And I think that's what we have done in this room. We turned off the lights, and then we allowed the beauty of community to glow, didn't we? To the young adults I've gotten to know, you've been a blessing to me. Late night movies to coffee shop discussions about faith, relationships, frustrations, those conversations made me feel like I wasn't 37. I could participate with you in life, and we could have the deeper conversations, and you trusted me with your doubts and your questions. And we were able to grow together. I didn't give you a quick, simple answer and a couple proof texts. Instead, We waited deeply together. And it was beautiful. To the families that have treated my children so well and adopted my wife into your friendship circles, it has meant the world to me. To be able to sit on your couches and watch movies as the kids play in the background, falling asleep on your couch on a Sabbath, being woken up to your smiling face saying, "Been a hard week, huh?" You allowed me to be me, uniquely me. I didn't have to pretend to be a hipster pastor, a good traditional SDA, the pastorly voice in funeral suit and tie. You allowed me to be me, goofy expressions, odd mismatched clothing, and really stylish shoes. You accepted me. We didn't always agree, but we understood that being right is less important than being in a right relationship. And so we've had these incredible conversations and grown in ways we never experienced before as a group. You've seen me. You've really seen me. And I've been able to see you. Your unapologetic love and acceptance has allowed me to soar and to thrive. And I will say, we truly experienced our vision, didn't we? We are an authentic expression of the kingdom of heaven, aren't we? Amen. This is what it looks like when people come together from all different backgrounds, all different personality types, all different perspectives on how to read the Bible and understand God. This group of people in this room, we came together and we created something really beautiful. And we did it with love and compassion and grace. You've given me a gift. Some have said I am a heretic. And that's not new to you. And to that, I will remind you that to be a heretic simply means to be one who holds an opinion. One that sometimes seems unorthodox at the time. And to that, I am proud to walk with the other heretics in our history. Of Jesus, Martin Luther, Paul, St. Francis, all of them. And I'm so proud to walk with other heretics weekly. I'm not leaving angry. I'm not pointing fingers. Some have said I'm on a slippery slope. And to that, I would say this to you. I'm already at the bottom. And in the words of a friend of mine, Kent, I'm looking around and I'm wondering what's next. I'm looking around and I'm seeing I am in pretty good company right now. We've died a certain death, and some of our old ideas have died that same death, which has actually created some fertile soil for the new life to begin. I'm choosing to see the beauty in these past 4 years, and they've been so good. You've given me a gift, one that I hope to give to others, acceptance, love, mercy. And I hope wherever I go and wherever you go, you will share that with every single person you meet. You've taught me that to be in relationship, you've taught me that this is a privilege to accept the other, the marginalized, the ones that don't fit in. Our service, OC Grace First, has helped me be a better human being, and I'm so thankful for that. Where once stood a very angry, bitter person now stands someone with a new life. Someone who has felt accepted and loved and restored. And I am the one thanking you today for that. I am thankful. I've experienced freedom, love, belonging, and restoration, which has enabled me to walk the Christ path. And again, all I can say is I am so thankful for that opportunity. The Werfels, we're still here in Orange County. And I hope that when you see my daughter at the school and my son, you'll treat them with love. You'll give them big hugs. When you see my wife, you'll treat her with love and respect and grace and belonging. I am a better human being because of you. And I am so thankful that I had the opportunity to come here weekly and share my journey with you. And I'm so thankful that you accepted and walked with me on that journey. I love you all. And I think I've said enough. May God bless you as you continue to walk the Christ path. Pray for my family and myself as we continue to do the same. May God bless you, OC Grace First.